For all the unique roles that you play in life, Mom, we say thank you today. Today is such a unique day on the calendar. We get to celebrate our moms today. You know, Thursday night in the Miller home, we had a ball game that night. Our kids play baseball, softball, and so we had a baseball game on Thursday night, and the kids come home from school, they got their homework done, Darlene fed dinner, and we were off to the ballpark for a little baseball that evening, and it was actually our first, our opening game of the season over here at Lou Gehrig, and I'm coaching David's team, and so we're just going to have a great night at the park, and we finish up baseball, and we get back home, it's probably 8:15-ish, and kids' homework's done, everybody, it's now time to get showered, get everybody ready for bed, because school the next morning, and so everything is done. All the kids are in bed. We're kind of chilling and relaxing downstairs. And I don't know about you, dads, but this happened in my home on Thursday night. Maybe you've experienced something kind of like this. I'm sitting, and I've got my computer. My computer. I'm going to do a couple of things on the computer, and I'm just kind of relaxing. I'm cleaned up. The day is kind of winding down. And out of the middle of nowhere, I heard something like this. Mom, Mom, can you come here? Now, as a dad, I'm sitting in my chair. I'm down in the family room, and I'm good to go with that. My name wasn't attached to it. I'm thinking, Mom's got it taken care of. We're good to go, and everything is fine. And so I just continue to work and don't really think much more about it. And then I heard a phrase kind of like this, and maybe you've experienced this, Dad, in your life. And I heard the next phrase was not a child calling out. It was this. Hey, honey, can you go check and see what Dayla wants? So I kind of set things down, and I go upstairs, and I open up her door, and it's kind of dark in there. And it's just now getting dark outside. I mean, it's kind of getting dark outside, so there's a little bit of light in the room. I walk up, and I put my hand right on her head, and I kind of touch her hair and say, baby, what you need? How can I help you? You ever experienced it? Dad, I don't want you. I want Mom. Okay, so I go back downstairs. Baby, she wants you, and Darlene takes care of it. And I don't know about you, but that happens in my home kind of frequently. And it's not because I don't hold value or worth in the life of my children. It's just, Mom, you are unique. You are so unbelievably special. Everybody in this room, you've got a mom, and many of you in this room, you are a mom. And we just want to say today from the chapel, you are so special. You're so unique. Today, we just believe, moms, you're on a mission. And for all the things that you do, it's just so challenging for us to say thank you. Words just don't describe how special you are. Matter of fact, a few years ago, we had just moved to Buffalo, and with our oldest daughter, at her school, they do this fifth grade thing where they go to Gettysburg, and they do this little field trip deal to Gettysburg, and we had never really, Darlene had never really been away from the kids to spend the night, and certainly she's typically home during the school year, but on this particular occasion, we made a decision that Darlene would go with our oldest child on this Gettysburg trip, and for me, I began kind of processing, you know, a couple of weeks out, thinking, what's it going to be like when Darlene's gone? You know, all the things I got to make sure I'm taking care of. And that day approaches, and then actually the night before approaches, and Darlene kind of walks me through last minute things. Here's the medicines, and here's all the stuff you got to do, and I'm good. Hey, I got it. I've got it taken care of. And the next morning rolls around, and we, as usual, get up. Darlene's fixed a wonderful breakfast, and the coffee is nice and hot, and we're good to go. And she's got breakfast on the table, and we get the kids out the door, and we take them to school, and Darlene is off on this field trip. And in my mind, I've kind of got this sense of freedom. Whoa, hey, Mom is gone. I can stay up late, and I can watch what I want, I can eat what I want. There's this sense of freedom that hits Dad when Mom walks out the door. I don't know what that is, because it's not normally how I live, but when Mom's gone, it's like, okay, let everything else go, and we'll just live any way we want to live. And in my home, I'm thinking, all right, we got this new sense of freedom, and I'm going to have the two younger ones, and I'm cruising through my day. And that afternoon, it dawned on me, and the kids get out of school at 3 o'clock. Normally, Darlene takes care of that, and I've got to go do that. And so I kind of pack up, and I love what I do. I love working here at the chapel, and so I got to pack it up and get out of the office a little bit early to go pick up the kids, and it kind of interrupts my work day, but it's okay. I'm dad, and I'm playing the role of mom for a couple of days, and so I'm good to go because I've got this new sense of freedom. And so you know what I did. I immediately take the kids to Dairy Queen, and we enjoy some ice cream right after school, and just like a dad would do. And we get into the evening, and it dawns on me, wait a minute, what are we going to do about dinner here? Mom always takes care of dinner. Now, do we need to even eat dinner? Can't we just hang out? You know, I can go without it. And the kids, they're wanting some food, and okay, let's run down the street and pick up some fast food, which we never do. And so now we're eating fast food, and it's okay because all this newfound freedom that I've got that day has now turned into a little bit of fear as the evening has gone along, because now I got to get the homework done, and we're pressing 7 o'clock. We've just finished, you know, some fast food, and I haven't even let the kids do homework. We've just been hanging out playing the whole time, and wait a minute, let's get our homework done because we got to get you in bed because you got school the next morning. And the next morning we wake up, and like the Miller house, I'm the first one to get up in my home. But normally when Darlene gets up, man, the coffee is hot and it's good. She makes a nice breakfast, but on this morning there was no breakfast. Not my house. There was no hot coffee. I was on my own. You see, all that freedom that I had found had now created a new fear in me of what am I going to do? I got to get the kids up. I got to get them ready for school. And man, just 24 hours earlier, I was celebrating. Now I'm frustrated. And I'm going, okay, wait a minute. Things have changed. This isn't exactly how I had planned it. And we got to get the kids up and get them to school. And boy, it's just like this big ordeal. And it really wasn't now looking back on it. But on that particular morning, it's like, man, I got to hurry up, get them ready. And get out the bowls, kids. Get your own cereal box because you got to eat some breakfast. And we had cereal the night before for dinner. And so I've got them out the door, and I'm sitting, and 3 o'clock rolls around. I got to go pick them up. And I'm now going, wait a minute. I am now repenting of what I felt 48 hours earlier of, hey, we're going to celebrate and there's some freedom to, God, please bring her home. I can't do another day of this. And she spent the night, and the next day, mom's coming home, and it was a scramble. It was a mad panic because now we've gone from the freedom we experienced a couple of days earlier to that fear of what are we going to do, to some frustration on my end. Now it's time to fumigate the house because we got to get ready. Mom's coming home, pick up the napkins from all the wings that we've eaten and throw away the pizza box and get rid. You know what I'm saying, Dad? Moms, you are so special. You are so unique. As a matter of fact, I don't know if some of you read Money Magazine, but in Money Magazine, they had an article, and so I went online and just downloaded it. Here's the title of this article: Being a Mom Could Be a Six-Figure Income. There you go. I hear you, sister. Yeah. Being a mom could be a six-figure income. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And I'm reading this article, and it's talking about all this different stuff and how moms balance, those of you that work and you're a mom, and those that are a stay-home mom. And then it connected me to one of the greatest websites I've ever found. Are you ready for this? This is unbelievable. There is a website where you can literally go in and take these same figures, and you can plug in your zip code. And based on your zip code in the area you live in, and I put in my zip code, you can go through this list of things and identify all the different tasks that mom does in the home. And if she were working and doing those things professionally in the workforce, how much would she be compensated for it? Are you with me? So I go through and I plug it in for my wife. She's a housekeeper, and I plugged in how many hours a week she does housekeeping. And I plug in that she's a great cook, and I plug in how many hours she spends a week cooking. And she's a computer operator for us at our home, and she's a laundry machine operator, and she's a janitor, and she's the CEO of our house, and she's the facilities manager, and she's the chauffeur, and she's also a psychologist in our home. And so I go through and I put all these things that mom does in our home, in our zip code, and what would she be compensated for? And then, this is really cool, it prints out an actual check for you. Now, I don't think there's any value in this check, but there is my check. It's called mom.salary.com. And I plug it in my zip code and all the hours that Darlene puts in my home. and her check printed out for $140,000. Moms, yeah, moms, you got some worth. You have got significant value. We just, I don't know that we can oftentimes survive it without you. But today is not about the worth that you have for just cleaning up the house or putting dinner on the table or cleaning up the children or spending time laying in bed listening as a counselor to the kids. Today is about the spiritual worth that you possess. Here at the chapel today, on this very one day a year on the calendar, special day called Mother's Day, we wanted to chat with you about the spiritual worth that you own as a mom. It's a sensitive topic because in the room, sometimes there's ladies that want to be a mom or wherever life's got you in this season. Maybe things haven't panned out like you would have liked for them to. And so I recognize it's a sensitive topic today, but it's also a day to celebrate the moms in our life. As we, in our home, like to celebrate Mother's Day, I don't know what your deal is, what you're going to do today, but many of you have decided today that you're going to celebrate in whatever fashion, but one of those ways was you were going to come to church today. And some of you, by way of internet, some will be watching by television, you've said, Mom's Day is a special day, and we're going to carve out the next few minutes to recognize Mom on this special day spiritually. If you've got a copy of God's Word with you, I want to challenge you and encourage you, request of you, if you would, open it up to the book of 1 Thessalonians. It's in the New Testament. Great passage of Scripture here in 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to have it. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's one in front of you, or we're going to have it up on the screen for you. But in 1 Thessalonians, there's a great passage of Scripture that tells us, gives us a little bit of insight about a mom. You know, today, I want to encourage you, on the inside of your worship folder is a little thing with notes, and if you've got that, I want you to write down a few things today that you can walk away with, because we want to encourage our moms today. So we're going to look at this passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and the first thing I would have you write down is this little phrase, and then I'm going to explain it for you, and it's this: moms, you have tender influence. So think about this. You've got tender influence. Now, the reason that I'm having you jot that down is because here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, what we've got is the Apostle Paul, one of the founders of the New Testament church. Christ has already been placed in a grave after crucifixion on the cross. He has risen again. He's ascended back to heaven after giving some instructions to the apostles. And now here goes the Apostle Paul, and he is launching churches everywhere. He's on mission with God. And now he is writing this letter to this city called Thessalonica, and he writes in his letter the challenges that he has experienced in ministry and how challenging it's been, how difficult it's been, but at the same time, how much he loves it, how much he loves the body of Christ. And in this passage, what he's going to do is he's going to say, I want to give you a metaphor for what it's like to be in ministry and how much I care about you, the body of Christ. Listen to what 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5 says. You know, we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from any human being, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our prerogatives. Now, let's pause right there for a second. Understand what Apostle Paul is doing. He's saying, I'm not looking for you to pat me on the back. I'm not looking for you to celebrate the wins of how great you might think I am as a minister of the gospel. And we could have done all that. We could have asserted our role in the body of Christ and said, look, hey, here's what we've done. But instead, the mission and the passion I have for you as the body of Christ, listen to how he describes it, because he doesn't describe it in terms of a daddy. He uses the metaphor of a mother, and listen to what he says in verse 7. Instead, we were like young children among you, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. You know, mom, The metaphor that the Apostle Paul uses here is one that's very tender, very gentle, one that is nourishing. Moms in the room, and those of you, as you reflect and think about your mom today, and many of you have probably already spoken with your mom, or maybe you've got plans a little bit later. Our moms provided in those early years some incredible nourishment for us. As a matter of fact, the picture that Paul gives us is this picture of a mommy holding her child, cuddling her in close and tight. And the actual picture here from 1 Thessalonians is a mom nursing her child. Now, dads, we can do a lot of things in life, but we are not equipped for this part of parenting like a mom is. And so as mom nurses that child, she is providing nourishment. As we know, it's a scientific marvel still to this day, how that milk in those early formative days are bacteria fighting and provide nourishment that goes beyond anything else we can do. It's an unbelievable miracle of God. And the picture that Paul wants us to grab a hold of is, that's what it's like in the body of Christ. It is like we are caring for you, we are loving you, we are nursing you. We are providing this gentle, kind, caring nourishment. The picture of this baby being held and cuddled in tight is an incredible picture of what a mom is. Moms, during those formative years in that body contact and eye-to-eye contact, the opportunity and the privilege to influence that child is a unique opportunity and responsibility. As a matter of fact, in those first 4 years before your child goes off to school, moms, you have about 4,000 conscious hours with that child each year to nurture and love, to care for. That's a significant amount of time. Matter of fact, it's so much time that here at the chapel, what we've said is we love you coming to the campus here, and we love the gathering we have on Sundays or Wednesday nights. But even at our best shot, maybe we're getting 50 hours a year, 60 hours a year of conscious investment into the life of your children. And it's just not enough because it pales in comparison to how much, moms, you can invest in the life of your children. As that child gets a little bit older, those hours may diminish a bit, but even through elementary school and even into middle school, you are going to average anywhere from about 2,500 to 3,000 hours a year of being able to invest into the life of your child that only you can do. It is unique. It is a relationship that God has given you with your child. So be intentional with that time. Take advantage of those times, because the day is coming as your child gets older. And many of you know this. The day is coming as your child walks into those middle school years, and all of a sudden hormonally they begin to change and relationally they begin to change. And the challenge is set in front of us, because the control that we've had through those preschool years and the control that we have in the life of our child through elementary begins to slide and slip away. And you know, as a parent, it's no longer in middle school and high school about controlling your child, and it's about influence. I want to tell you, if you're a young parent in this room or you're going to have children one day, I want to encourage you, take advantage of these early years, because as you build and you grow and you nourish that child and they get to that age in middle school and high school where you need to have the influence, you want to be there. The control aspect by middle school and high school is pretty much gone. Oh, you can take away their internet privilege. You can take away the car keys for a few days. I'm just going to tell you, they'll navigate around that. You can take the cell phone away. You can cut off text messaging. They're going to navigate around it. You want to have the privilege of influencing your child by those years. And that takes place as you grow your child. The picture Paul gives us as you nourish them and cuddle them and care for them. Because that day is coming where they are no longer even scrimmaging in your house, but they're in the real game. And they got to make decisions on their own. You want them to make that wise choice. So moms in this room, please understand, you have got a tender influence in the life of your child. It is a unique relationship designed and equipped for God to allow you the privilege in the life of that child to nurture. As a matter of fact, mom, because of that giftedness and how special your influence is as a child in the life of that child, that really leads me to the second thing I wanted you to jot down. So if you would, jot down this little phrase and let's talk about it for a second. Understand the partnership as a major mentor. Proverbs gives us an incredible picture in the life of a parenting situation. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 8, listen to what it says here. It says in Proverbs 1:8, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction." If you're one of those people that likes to write in your Bible or underline stuff, underline that word instruction. Dad is typically the person that is coming alongside in the parenting process, and he is the guy that's reinforcing the instruction in the home. Dad is the one that's coming alongside and providing the warnings and the corrective measures in the family life. But then look at what it said at the end of verse number 8. It says, "And do not forsake your mother's teaching." And teaching here, if you look at different translations, some of them may use the term law. Some of them may use other terms. But the bottom line of Proverbs 1:8 is, in the life of a mother, it's moms that are going to come alongside. And the phrase here for teaching is a phrase to the Word of God. So when law or statutes, and we know that there's about 8 different references to the Word of God, to the first 5 books of the Old Testament, this one comes alongside and says it's mom who provides that kind of teaching into the life of the family. Moms, you've got a huge responsibility. And as mom comes alongside in that partnership, in the marital relationship, in the parenting, is driving into the life of that child, there is correction and understanding and direction provided by dad, but there's a teaching element on behalf of the mother in the life of that child. You know, it's funny that in most homes, typically, it's the moms who set the standard for what is straight, and it's typically the dad that comes alongside and settles the standard of what is straight. What I mean by that is this. It's typically the mom who will say something like this: "You know, Junior, I don't think you need to bring that into the home." And it's dad who says, "Hey, you heard your mom. You heard what she said. Don't bring that into the house." It's dad who comes alongside to provide the corrective measure. Mom may say something like, "You know, I really don't think we need to watch that program. You know, Junior is just a little too young. There's too much violence," or whatever it is. "I don't think we should watch that." And as a dad, you might be sitting there going, "Well, I didn't see a whole lot wrong with it." And in your mind and in your heart, you're going, "What's the deal here?" And mom may even walk out of the room and muddle something under her breath like, "Hey, I'll just be upstairs praying for you while you guys watch that program. I'll be in prayer upstairs." And we change the channel. Why? Because moms have a unique ability, wired by God, to provide the teaching element. Pretty unique, isn't it? It's pretty amazing when we stop and think about the role of a mom. As a matter of fact, 10 chapters later in chapter 10, listen to what it says in verse number 1, talking about one of the Proverbs of Solomon. Here's what it says. "The Proverbs of Solomon, wise children bring joy to their father, but foolish children bring grief to their mother." You go, "Oh, come on, Pastor Dave, what is that all about?" Well, really what this is about is typically understanding that it's dad who gets to engage in the celebration of parenting typically. Not that mom doesn't get to, but it's dad that's typically celebrating the life of their children. And although moms do as well, it's a very painful process for the mothers when the child doesn't turn out the way you designed and had hoped for, maybe even prayed for. As a matter of fact, for moms, it's a partnership that goes way beyond just the time the child is born. Now, I've worked with children in middle school and high school, and I've got two little girls of my own, and they're different, they're unique, and I praise God for them, but we've got one in our house that is a baby doll girl. She loves her baby doll, and from the time she was born, she has always been one of those little girls that loves to play with the dolls, and she's got, you know, baby Annabelle, and if we're going to go out for a walk around the neighborhood, she puts baby Annabelle in the stroller, and we got to take baby Annabelle. We go on family vacation, baby Annabelle goes on family vacation. I actually buy diapers for baby Annabelle. It's kind of strange sometimes. But it's because she's already got some of those maternal instincts in her as a little 12-year-old middle school girl, looking forward to the day that maybe someday she will be a mommy. As a matter of fact, little girls, as we know, oftentimes are playing dress up, thinking about what wedding day will look like, what motherhood will look like, because you are just wired different than us. While we're playing with our army men and we're jumping cars and we're crashing buildings and we're playing ball, little girls are thinking about what it will be like someday to be that mommy. Matter of fact, when she walks into the room one day and says to her husband, "Honey," and that smile comes and tears start to stream, and he's like, "What? What's going on?" "We're going to have a baby." Dad celebrates and embraces her, and they're excited. They're going to have a child together, and everybody's all excited. And Dad goes about his business. Mommy's now got a new baby she's caring for and beginning to grow inside of her. And when Dad goes off to sleep at night, Mom is beginning to have the feelings of change emotionally, physically inside of her. And for the next 9 months, there's an unbelievable commitment on your part to protect and prepare for a child. See, moms, you are so unbelievably unique. God's way of designing and creating you is just really cool. He's made you to have some of the most unbelievable, tender influence that only you can have. But he's also wired you to make sure that you understand that you are in a partnership to mentor that child. Last year, I was coaching a baseball game for our son, and I'm coaching on first base, and I had my cell phone, and my cell phone rang. Darlene was with our daughter, our oldest daughter, playing at a different park, and my cell phone rang, and I answered the phone while I'm trying to teach a kid how to run the bases, and I knew it was Darlene, so that I typically wouldn't answer my phone during the game, but I answer my phone, and I hear on the other end, "Hey, David, Danielle has fallen, and I think she's hurt." And I'm round the base, let's go. And I'm listening and trying to coach at the same time. And I'm like, "Hey, is she okay? Come on, go, let's run. Let's get it going, let's score some runs. David, I really think she's hurt." And I knew by the tone of voice my wife was using, and I knew, because I know my wife and I'm listening to her, I knew Danielle was hurt. And for those of you that don't know the Miller family, her daughter had fallen a couple of years earlier and broke her leg in 4 places. Darlene inside was hurting. I mean, she was feeling the pain of her little baby girl who had fallen, and come to find out, you know, my response was just, "Hey, bring her over. Let me look at it, you know, keep her shoe on, do all those things, and we'll get some ice." And come to find out, she had broken her ankle again. Now, me and Mom processed that very different. It's not that I'm an insensitive father or I don't care. I do. I love my kids and I care deeply about it when they hurt. But there is a pain that goes much deeper that a mom feels and senses. It's as though Mom senses the broken ankle, while Dad sympathizes and hurts with our children, it's Mom who feels it. And it's because of the way God has wired you. From the time of being a little girl, growing up through middle school, high school, college, into young adult life, God's been preparing you as a mom. When your child gets hurt or injured or they're hurting emotionally, you hurt. Matter of fact, it leads us to the third thing that I want you to jot down, and I hope this is a great encouragement to you. I want you to write down this little thought right here. Moms, you know labor with an unbelievable perseverance. Now, in this room, when I said that word labor, there were two trains of thought in here. For the guys, we're thinking job site. We're thinking shovels and dirt, physical labor. The ladies, on the other hand, when they hear this word labor, it's very different for you. For those of you that have experienced labor, you know this is a different word in the vocabulary. Because it brings back, for some of you, some very traumatic memories. For some of you, it's the most painful time of your life. As a matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 3, when Eve sinned in the garden, God said, one of the curses on the women would be this, that you will experience great pain in childbirth. A pain that goes beyond anything us guys have ever experienced. Anything we will know. But it's part of the curse from the garden. And so women, you understand how painful it is when we talk about this term labor. It's a sacrificial type of labor. Because even back just 110, 120 years ago, coming into the turn of the century, women, 3 out of every 10 women, would lose their life in the process of delivering a child. So when husband and wife are celebrating and dad's all excited, we're going to have a baby, mom could have that fear element setting in, man, I may not even make it through the birthing process. And in the process of bringing a new life into this world, I may lose my own. It's a sacrificial love that only you moms understand. And I want to tell you and encourage you, moms, thank you. Because it's you and only you that can do these unique things. From the cuddling and nourishment of a baby, through the mentorship process, and the unbelievable perseverance of love. As a matter of fact, I want to read you a story. I chose a little bit of a different translation today because in the Word of God, you've got some word-for-word translations and you've got a story format. And so I chose the story format to read you a really cool story from 2 Kings. And we're going to put it up on the screen for you. But I want you to listen to this great story about a new mommy. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 4. Listen to what it says. One day, Elisha passed through Shunem. So you got this little city called Shunem. Elisha, just to give you some historical background, Elisha is called a prophet of God. So he is the one that brings, God speaks to him, he speaks to the people. That makes sense? This is a powerful dude. He's carrying the words of God. People want to hear what he has to say. People want to listen. So here comes Elisha, and he goes into this town called Shunem. And there's a leading lady of the town. Well, she talked to him and said, hey, will you stop in for a meal? And then it became his custom. Whenever he would pass through Shunem, he would stop in for a meal. Sounds like a nice little relationship carrying on here. I'm certain, said the woman to her husband, so we know now she's married, this man who stops by with us all the time, he's a holy man. He's a man of God. Now, let's pause right there, just a second. Ladies, can I just say right there, God's wired you with an intuition guys just aren't wired with. There's something that you have innately inside of you to recognize things that sometimes just kind of go right by us. This woman in Shunem, she recognized this guy is a man of God. We want to be around the man of God because he's in touch, man. He's connected to God. So she's inviting him for dinner, and it became kind of the custom of this Elisha to come through this town, and they would just invite him. And so watch what they do. It's really amazing. Why don't we add a small room upstairs? She's telling her husband, hey, let's build onto the house. Let's put a room upstairs. Notice what they do with it. And we'll furnish it with a bed, a desk, a chair, and a lamp. And so every time the man of God comes by, Elisha, when he comes by, he can stay with us. Man, spiritual sensitivity, women, that you've got. And so it happened that the next time when Elisha came, that he went to the room and laid down for a nap. And he called out to his servant Gehazi, "Tell the Shunammite woman that I want to see her." And he called for her, and she came to him. Now, just to give you a little bit more insight, you can read it in some other translations. She actually stops before she walks into the room, and it was kind of the custom there. And she doesn't even cross the threshold of the room, and she stops to hear what the man of God wants to say to her. There's an element of respect here, and there's an element of, hey, I want to know, God, what do you have for me? And that's how a lot of moms are. God, I'm a new mom, or I'm a grandmother now, or wherever you are in season of life, and you want to know, God, what is it you have for me, and where am I heading in this journey? So this woman is standing there, and Elisha said to her through his partner Gehazi, "You know, you've gone far beyond the call of duty in taking care of us. What can we do for you? Do you have a request that we can bring to the king or to the commander of the army?" And notice her reply, "No, there's nothing. I'm secure. I'm satisfied with my family. Everything's cool. I don't have any needs." Basically, what she's saying is, everything's good with me. I'm just glad that you want to come to our home because we enjoy the conversation. We enjoy the fellowship with a man of God. And I'm just grateful that you've chosen our family to make an investment in. My husband and I are so grateful. Well, the story goes on. It's a really cool picture of what happens here in the life of a praying woman. Look at what happens. Elisha conferred with Gehazi. There's got to be something we can do for her. But what? Gehazi said, "Well, Elisha, she doesn't have a son, and her husband is an old man. Hey, call her up." So Gehazi called for the Shunammite woman, and she came and stood back at the door. And Elisha said to her, and watch this, this is really cool, "This time next year, you're going to be nursing an infant son." This is a prophet of God, and he says to this woman who has no children, "This time next year, get ready, you're going to be a mommy." Watch her reply. Oh, my master. "Oh, holy man of God," she said, "don't play games with me. Don't test me with such fantasies." In other words, what she's saying here is, whoa, time out, bro. I want to be a mom, but don't get my hopes up. This is serious, serious business, being a mommy. I don't want to get my hopes up just to get let down. Don't go there with me. Don't play games with me. Sure enough, the next year, Elisha comes through, stays in their home, and they have a little boy. I want to tell you, ladies, there's nothing like being a mom, is there? Now, I don't know from personal experience. I'm a dad. I love being a daddy. But you are unique individual on the planet. You are the moms that provide unbelievable nourishment. Gentle, compassionate, loving environments for the children. You're in a partnership to mentor our kids. And you understand the perseverance, the labor of love it takes. As a matter of fact, this Shunammite woman, you go on to read the rest of the story. They go through some tough times in life, but the bottom line is she never gives up and never folds in her faith with God. She becomes an unbelievable prayer warrior on behalf of her child. Moms, can I tell you, there's nobody on the planet that prays for your kids like you do. There's nobody that can lift up the kind of heartfelt, deep-driven prayers for your kids like you. Don't ever give up on your kids. I don't know where you are. Maybe you're a grandmother. You're a parent in here. Maybe whatever's happened with your children. Can I encourage you? Be a prayer warrior for your kids. That's something you cannot outsource to someone else. Oh, you can get a LifeLinks group, and you can get a pastor, and you can get friends to pray for your kids, but there's nothing like the prayers of a mother. And so today, on this one day of the year on the calendar where we call it Mother's Day, today, moms, we celebrate you and what God is doing in and through you to rear up a new generation of kingdom warriors. Moms, you're very special and unique. Matter of fact, I talked to my mom today and she told me she'd be watching by way of internet. And Mom, I love you. I hope you have a great Mother's Day. Moms are so influential in the lives of their children. The statistics are unbelievable on how many moms lead their kids to Christ. I'm a product of that. My mom and I on my knees, my senior year of high school, walked me through the prayer called a sinner's prayer where I received Christ. The influence of a mom. Ladies, you are special. Matter of fact, you're so special, we began to think, what do we do here at the chapel for you on this day? Because I am just a firm believer, how do we express our gratitude? Do we give you this really cool pink ribbon that says, hey, world's greatest mom, and you could wear it all day long? And yeah, I think that'd be pretty cool. Or maybe it's a big heart that's a magnet you put on your refrigerator that says, I attended the chapel on May the 11th, 2008, and because I was there, I'm the world's greatest mom. Yeah, all that stuff's good. And maybe we just give you a flower as you walk in, and as we process through preparing for today, can I tell you, moms, we have come up with what we believe is the greatest gift we want you to walk out with. We believe that today, as you've gathered on this campus and those that are watching by way of internet live today, we want to give you the greatest gift that we can give you. So today, joining me on this platform is another mother, one that's very special to the life of the chapel. It's the director of our women's ministry, Mrs. Linda Penn. Linda is going to join me because she, myself, the staff, the team of the chapel, believe so passionately in the lives of moms that today we want to give you a special gift. Moms, we want to pray for you. We want to pray over you. Linda believes in you, and she's having influence in the lives of moms all over this campus in Western New York in an unbelievable way. I have the privilege as a family pastor of influencing some moms and some dads along the way, but it goes beyond just what she and I can do. It's what God can do, and only He can do. Today, moms, we celebrate you. You are special, you are unique, and we love you. Would every mom in this room please do us the honor and the privilege of standing to your feet? Moms, we'd like to have you stand. Wow. Wow. Wow, what an amazing group of moms, Linda. You know what? Our applause and the words that we say pale in comparison about what God's doing in you and through you. And today, Linda Penn, a mom in her own right, loves her children and loves you. And I've asked her if she would to pray a very special prayer over you today because you are unique and we love you here at the chapel.
Father, we are so thankful today for Mother's Day. Thank you that we get to celebrate and honor a very Amen. Important role, and that each woman who is standing, that you have made her with a nurturing and a protection and a provision ability to equip her children to be in her home and to guard her home. Lord, I pray that you would just be with her today. May she know how blessed and how honored we think she is. Mm-hmm. You love her. We love her. And you enabled her to be a part of one of the greatest things that you have given to us, and that is the creation of life. And you have used her to bring that into this world. Thank you. Thank you for each heart. Lord, I pray for that woman who is expecting that you'll just be with her and surround her with your love. Lord, I pray for that single mom who is doing it all by herself. Lord, I pray for maybe that mom who can't be with her children today, or is watching her child suffer in sickness. Lord, I pray for that mom who maybe their son or daughter is in military and can't even be with her today. Lord, I pray for the woman who has that hole in her heart. That on every Mother's Day, she remembers that baby that went to heaven. Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you for how you have equipped them, and that through that empowerment of your love and relationship and through the word of God, you have called her to an awesome responsibility. And I know that each mother who affects and leads and has a spiritual input into her child's life, that input will affect every generation thereafter. Would you bless her today? May she feel totally loved by you and by us, respected. May you empower her with the wisdom and the strength that she needs to raise her children. That would be honor and glorifying to you. Lord, we thank you today, and we honor our mothers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Moms, would you remain standing? This is just for you. Today, just stop and think. What kind of godly mom do you want to be? Maybe you've already come through the child rearing process and now you're a grandmother. What kind of godly grandma can you be? We believe in you. And the reason we believe in you is because we know how God's wired you and equipped you, very special and unique on this planet. Moms, you hold a place in all of our hearts that no one else can take. You're special. What kind of godly mom are you going to be? Because there's a new generation coming that needs you. Ladies that got some maturity about you, you've reared some children, our young ladies need them. We've got needs here at the chapel where you could plug in and mentor young moms and love them and encourage them and pray for them. What kind of mom are you going to be? Be a mom that rears your child for the Lord, that only you can do. Moms, today, we say to you, we love you. Thank you for who you are. We love you. And we celebrate today your role in our lives. Happy Mother's Day. We love you. Father, we love these ladies and these moms. Would you bless them today? Some of them are hurting, as Linda said. May they find encouragement today. Not through my words or through anybody else's words, but through your word, the word of God. May they know they are deeply valued. We talked earlier about the value they have in terms of the work side, but today may they recognize their spiritual, their biblical worth. There is no price tag on it. That it is enormous. And God, we thank you for our moms today. May you give them a great day today as we celebrate mothers. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, moms.